Joy in the War. That is the name of an exciting new book that we're going to talk about today. Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that takes very many aspects, and taking authority in the Spirit, of course, is one of them. We know that we're all in a spiritual war. We're battling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and we need to have joy in the midst of the war. And today, Daniel and Amber Pierce are going to talk about their experience and what the Lord has shown them about this very important topic. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and Daniel and Amber, it is so nice to have you on my podcast. Thank you for taking time. And I need to say right away that I had the privilege of publishing this book under Charisma House, and this, I believe this is your first book, and we've published a number of books by Daniel's dad, Chuck Pierce. In fact, I think he's the one that approached us about the book, and we talked about it, and we decided, hey, we want to do this. And I've been reading the book, and we'll talk about it, of course, in a minute. I was so pleased. You guys are really good writers, so congratulations on doing a good job.
Thank you. That's such a compliment coming from you, and thank you for the work that you did with us. We really appreciate that, and it's been a blessing.
Well, thank you. We've so appreciated the relationship we've had with Chuck Pierce and his entire ministry over a period of years. And I've had the privilege of publishing, we think, about 2,000 books, about 1,000 of which are still in print. And of course, you know, we've taken a chance on a lot of new authors. And as for a publisher, it's kind of risky. But your message is so compelling, and your dad and his ministry has really gotten behind this book. It's very attractive. I'm holding it right now, and it says, expand your ability to embrace hope in the heat of battle. So why don't we start by maybe me asking you why you picked that title and why you wanted to write the book?
Well, you know, when we first got started writing the book, was 2012, so it's been several years that we spent writing it, but I didn't really end up beginning writing it for the purpose of it being a book. We were in a war physically in the city of Beersheba in Israel at the time, and our family experienced, you know, what that's like and all of the different things that the Lord began to show us through living there during physical warfare. And we kept writing and taking note of everything that the Lord was speaking to us and doing in our lives, we realized how important it was to be able to maintain joy in that atmosphere and all of the chaos and the different things that were going on around us. And that concept really became joy in the war. And those were the words that the Lord spoke to us during that time, was joy in the war.
Well, that's interesting. In fact, let's talk about your experience in Israel. You're in the United States right now due to the shutdowns related to COVID. But, you know, you guys went over there at a fairly young age. I don't really know how old you are. To me, you don't look very old. And it says you've been in ministry 12 years, so that gives me some idea. And you've got a young family, and I've enjoyed getting to know you a few times in the past. But, you know, I have a real heart for Israel, as do many of my listeners. And here you are over there ministering. Just describe a little bit more about your ministry and what you experienced back during that time and what the Lord showed you.
Well, in the very beginning, when, you know, I had had a dream, we had visited Israel, and I had had a dream that we moved there. And we were just sitting in a meeting in Israel with Daniel's dad and some other leaders after I'd had this dream that we would move to Israel, and Chuck turned to the leaders and said he was pretty sure that we'd be moving there. And then I said to Daniel, did you tell your dad about that dream? And he said, no, I thought you did. And so then we realized we were really probably going to be moving to Israel. But immediately our first thought was we wanted to be invited by a leader there. And so a leader there, Avi Mizrahi, invited us to come and minister in his church. And at first we were leading prayer sessions through the night in his prayer tower in Tel Aviv. And so that was the very beginning of ministering and building relationships in Israel.
And go on and describe the war that you were telling me about. And, you know, I can only imagine what it's like. I've been over there many times. We've raised a lot of money for a ministry that makes bomb shelters, especially for the southern part of Israel around Sderot, you know, where people live in constant state of war, really, and the sirens can go off at any time, and people have to have, somewhere to rush. They have just a few seconds before the mortar rockets start exploding around them. And so more than most, I'm aware of that. But what was it like living over there, especially as an American?
You know, as a wife and a mother, and so I'll say Daniel and I were 21 and 31 when we first went there, but I had no preparation for this at all. Daniel was a police officer for 10 years before that. So he did have some, you know, I feel like he had some background for some of the challenges that come with warfare. But for me, you know, the first time we ever heard a rocket hit the ground and the windows shook, we went to our daughter's bomb shelter, and it was really terrifying. And so at some point, when you realize you're going to live through that kind of battle, you have to realize, okay, God put me here, the safest place, that I'm the center of His will.
Well, really, that's something all of us have to know, because if we're not living in the middle of a shooting war like they do in the Middle East, we're dealing with the onslaught of the enemy in our own homes, our lives, our churches, and certainly in the culture with everything that's going on.
You know, one of the things, Steve, that I've found that really bothers me is to hear other believers say things like that if we're in the Lord, we should never see warfare, or there shouldn't be warfare in our lives. And the reality is, if we're making a difference for God's kingdom, we're facing some kind of warfare, and that's in whatever walk of life that we happen to be in. And, you know, warfare, whether it's physical or spiritual, can take so many different forms and come at you in so many different ways, the fiery darts of the enemy. So I really pray that the body will wake up to the fact that as long as we're moving forward and we're building His kingdom, we are going to face some kind of warfare. And the reality is, we need to find joy in that warfare, and we need to find the stability that we have in the Spirit of God to be able to overcome those things.
Well, you know, you covered so many things that are important. In you talk about understanding God's heart for Israel. You kind of go through it step by step. Here's a chapter on war weary, in which you talk about September 11th, which we're recording this right before the anniversary of September 11th. I want to drill down about that a little bit. You talk about testing. You talk about strength in the darkness, warring against invisible enemies. I mean, this is really a book about spiritual warfare, but you also talk that joy is the key to victory in the war. And that's really what I hope we deal with in this podcast, is helping people to get a new understanding about what that means, because for one thing, we'd like them to order the book and to do a deep dive much more than we can in a short podcast. But just talk to me about that. Let's start with 9/11 and what you saw about that. Of course, I saw that you were at the sheriff's office when it happened. Of course, all of us can kind of remember where we first heard about 9/11, and then just kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, unfortunately, 9/11 was one of those events that was so traumatic that I think that everybody remembers where they were at and what they were doing when that happened and they first learned about it. I was sitting in a jail school. I'd just gone to work for Denton County Sheriff's Office here in Denton County, Texas, and I was still in the jail school before going to work with the inmates there. And I remember my sergeant calling us into a back office and turning the TV on and telling us about what had happened to the first tower. And right about the time you turned the TV on, we saw the second plane, you know, hit the other tower. So that was my experience and how I learned about it. And of course, over the next couple of weeks, that's all you heard about, you know, in the news. And it was an event that, you know, really shifted the world. But it took the whole world really in a new direction as far as our understanding of, you know, what goes on in the Middle East and the different things that that occur over there in warfare and why, really. And so it was a moment that really shifted our understanding of warfare. Many of the guys, about half of the class that I was in the jail school with, actually quit their job with the sheriff's office. They were all about 19, 20 years old at the time, and they went to work for the military because they wanted to be a part of, you know, current history and what's going on. And I even said at one point in the book, I believe that one of the things that's encouraged me is, as hard as it's been, the warfare that the United States has been in overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan and certain other Middle Eastern countries, that I am encouraged in the fact that those people who are coming back from those wars have a new understanding of warfare. You know, I think that's going to benefit this country and lead us in a direction of stronger understanding.
Well, that's good. And how does that relate, in your opinion, to spiritual warfare? I know that Chuck Pierce, your father, teaches on that. He's got a tremendous prophetic gift where he can see God's plans and purposes and all this. I remember that a number of years ago, probably in the 90s, he was one of the first people to warn about the dangers of China. At the time, you know, China was third world economy, if anything. And here we've seen in just 20 or 25 years that it's actually, you know, almost the economy is almost as big as the United States. And of course, they're vying for world power. And your father was one of the ones that saw that. And of course, he also has a real heart for Israel. If you ever attend the church there in south of Denton, as I have numerous times, there's all this Israeli music and there's shofars and lots of things. In fact, you know, people can see it also if they live stream any of the services, as Joy and I do. There have been times, especially during the COVID lockdown, where we would watch our own church service on live stream and then we would switch over, you know, you're an hour later than us, and watch your story, your service there in, south of Denton. And I'm just inviting you to, you know, kind of elaborate on this and what you've learned and how it impacted what you wrote in the book.
Well, to answer your question that you asked earlier about how physical warfare relates to spiritual warfare, I believe and I feel in my own walk with the Lord that spiritual warfare is the beginning of physical warfare. We're always at warfare in the spiritual, but physical warfare is really just underneath the surface. And that's the battle that we fight with the enemy. And knowing that, one of the greatest things that we can do that the Lord calls us to know our enemy. I mean, if you're going to fight a war, you need to know who the enemy is. And as you just mentioned, some of the things that are going on overseas physically with China and different things, you have a power and a principality there that's imperialistic in nature. You know, it's been there for generations and generations. So understanding that and watching how world power structure shift in the future and prophetically, like my dad came out with that years ago, that was a prophetic statement that the Lord showed him. But in that, we need to know and understand who our enemies are, because this world's not getting any easier. The warfare on a physical level and on a spiritual level is going to continue. It's going to get more confusing at times. But the more that we can focus on the Lord and the prophetic word that he's given us to walk forward into our future, the better we're going to be able to withstand a lot of the enemy's warfare.
Well said. And Amber, you know, you mentioned that you don't have the same background with law enforcement and so forth, but yet you've been through a lot of stuff yourself. I was amazed at how open you were in revealing about some of the struggles that you've had regarding your own birth and your mother and some of the other things that happened. Just tell us a little bit about your odyssey.
Well, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 23. And the Lord set me aside for a year. He actually told me not to date for a year. And exactly a year after that, I met Daniel. And, you know, me being placed in this family was a really big part of my healing. The moment I met the Lord, of course, he began to deliver me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But meeting Daniel and being set in his family, it's been almost 17 years now that we're married, has been a process of, you know, like an onion, peeling back the layers of all the things that I'd walked through as a child that, you know, the Lord doesn't intend for us to walk through, but because of, like, you know, the fallen world, we go through things that are not ideal or not his best. And so what I've just learned is that there's nothing that God can't restore. There's nothing that he can't heal. And so that's the main thing that I've learned throughout having a difficult childhood, is that there's nothing that he doesn't want to just make, whenever he restores, he doesn't want to just make things the way that they were. He makes them better.
Boy, that is a wonderful way to put it. And we tend to forget that, don't we, when we're going through it. But the Lord not only wants us to come through, but to make it better. And, you know, your last chapter is joy, God's cure for trauma. And of course, joy is part, you know, the first word of the title of the book. Why don't you define joy? A lot of people don't even know. You know, we think we know, but a lot of people think of joy as happiness, but it's really different, isn't it?
Well, joy, you know, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so it's something that comes from God, whereas happiness, you know, Daniel said this a few times, happiness is like you feel happy if you buy a new car or you get a new house or a new job. But joy is, you can have joy no matter what your circumstances are, no matter if you have something new or had something taken away from you. And so this joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it comes from God. We also have to choose it and come into agreement with joy to live that way. I really believe that it's also a practice. It can be supernatural, like God can pour joy out on you, but it's also something that you have to choose as well.
Talk to me about the book itself. Of course, you know, what you're saying hopefully will minister to people. Hopefully people will share this podcast with others. I'll be doing an article about it, which will help get the word out. This is important. But somebody could share this in a Sunday school class setting, a home prayer group setting, of course, a message at church. But it's something different to put it in a book, you know, to write it, to edit it. You know, the book is around 180 pages. It's a very attractive book. I'm looking at it now. But why should somebody take the time? You know, you have to, you know, buy the book, either the print copy, or it's also available on Kindle or in other formats. Why should they take it, read it? How is it going to impact? In other words, persuade our listeners to write in and buy the book, because this is more than just buying one more book. I mean, you know, for you or for us, it's, you know, a couple of dollars here and there. But it's an important message, I believe, to the entire body of Christ. But people have to make the decision. This is something for me. It affects my life. And it's worth the few hours it will take to read it.
You know, Steve, the Word of God says that we overcome by the power of His blood and of our testimony. And as you mentioned earlier, the book contains a lot of Amber and I's testimony. That's our walk with the Lord. Our reason for writing it down is for it to become our strength and to become the strength of others who might read it. And I always go back to James 1:1-4, where it says, "Count it joy. The testing of your faith leads to perseverance." And that's a principle that Amber and I really live by, and that we would want to impart to anybody else who reads the book or the Lord speaking joy in the war to them in their life, is just that the things that you go through that test your faith the most are the same things that are going to build you up the most and are going to become your perseverance.
And what I would say is, you know, you can't win your next battle without joy. Joy produces victory. And so, as Daniel said, the world's not getting any easier, but God does want us to be victorious in our battles. And I know that people over these past few years have gone through, have been just knocked around, have gone through so many things. And I believe this book is really, really crucial for people. We were so honest about our lives in this book. We shared things in this book that we've never shared from a stage. And the reason we did that is because we wanted people to know if we can overcome, then they can overcome.
Boy, that's so important, and isn't that what it's all about? And, you know, I'm just reflecting as a publisher, as the publisher of your book, that we are constantly looking for new voices who the Lord is raising up. And over the years, of course, we've had a number. Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Harbinger and all the other books, was a first-time author when we published him. But so is John Bevere. His first big book was The Bait of Satan, which is about offense. And John was a youth pastor at a local church here in Orlando. I had known him socially for a while, and we knew that he had this message that he had a burning desire to get out. And so I'm guessing he was mid to late 30s, maybe younger than that when we first published the book. And that book has sold very well over the years and keeps selling and selling and selling. Finally hit 1 million copies, believe it or not. Most books will sell and then kind of drop off after a while. But that was such an important message for the body of Christ that it just continued to sell It just sold itself. I mean, it wasn't anything wonderful that we did as a publisher or marketing it or anything. And I believe that this whole thing about spiritual warfare, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, is just so important. And Christians have to have hope. And that is what puts your book apart from other books on spiritual warfare. And we have done many books on spiritual warfare over the years.
Yeah.
John Eckhart is one of our big authors, did a book called Prayers That Rout Demons, and it sold a lot of copies too. And a lot of it is, you know, opening people's eyes to the spiritual dimension so they can understand it, learning how to stand up against the wiles of the enemy, to use a term from the Bible. But your book emphasizes joy. And, you know, there are other books on joy. There are a lot of books on joy. Some of them are just, to kind of encourage you. But I'm not aware, maybe there are books that combine spiritual warfare and joy in a way you did. And the fact that, you know, you're of the younger generation, especially compared to your dad and me, and I think that people would be encouraged to read what God is revealing to the next generation. If nothing else, it'll encourage us because, you know, sometimes it seems like the millennials are, how shall I say it, a little more liberal. Some parts of the churches are even more woke. And I know you well enough to know that does not apply to you guys at all. And this is not about political wokeness or anything else. But I mean, that is part of the spiritual war we have. It demonstrates itself in ways that people now call woke. So why don't you just speak to that?
Well, we see it all around us. I mean, you know, it's our age range, really our age range and younger, I'd say, you know, 40 and younger. And it is such a battle. You have people now who call themselves, you know, born again, but they believe that there are many ways to heaven. And, you know, we see it with friends, and it's a big battle because it's how the devil's come in to contort and twist and cause confusion. And that's like the big falling away, right?
It absolutely is. And, you know, I think this is such an important book. It's called Joy in the War. And expand your ability to embrace hope in the heat of battle. Daniel and Amber Pierce. It is available where Christian books are sold. Unfortunately, secular bookstores only take a handful of religious books, they would call it. It's always available on Amazon.com, although they're beginning to censor and cancel certain things about the Bible. You can also buy it at our Charisma Mag website. We have a site called Shopify where people can buy the books from our publishing houses. Probably easier to get it from Amazon, quicker in a lot of ways. But I think that people need to reach out. They could also go to your ministry. So I'm going to give each of you in turn an opportunity to give a last word. And maybe you can also tell people how they can contact your ministry, how they can get the book, because I think it's important that people buy this book. And when I do newsletter on it or my article, I will be sure to have some links where people can order the book, because we want to get it in the hands of people. And I really think that as people read this message, as I said earlier, as a editor and publisher, as I've been all my life, it's very well written. So you guys...
Thank you so much.
Chuck Pierce is a good writer, so I guess the apple didn't fall very far from the tree, did it? And hopefully my editors helped you do it. But I mean, I really enjoyed the book, the parts of the book that I read, and I know that my listeners will too. So Amber, ladies first, why don't you go first with the last word? And one of you needs to tell people how they can connect to Daniel and Amber Pierce if they want to find out more about you and your ministry and, of course, to order this book.
Well, first, I want to say again, thank you for publishing the book. And your team was so easy to work with. It was such a good experience. But joy is the cure for depression. And how many people out there are depressed and filled with anxiety right now? And so, you know, the Bible says, Psalm 51:12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And so people really, really do need this book, because God wants you to enjoy your life.
God does not desire for you to be depressed and down and anxious. He came that we would live life and live it abundantly, and so that we would enjoy our lives. And so that is the desire that we have for people to break out of the depression, anxiety that's so rampant in the world. And you can get this, like you said, you can get this book anywhere that Christian books are sold, in gloryofzion.org. And Daniel, share one last thing.
One more verse I just wanted to share. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." And that's something that's really driven us. And I just want to pray that over all of your listeners right now, that you'd have joy as you endure anything that this life has for you, any struggles, any hardships that you're going through. We just pray before the Lord right now that everybody that's listening to this would be lifted up and filled with the joy of the Lord today.
Amen.
Well, thank you both. There's so much more than can be said. Maybe should be said, but podcasts by their natures are short. So thank you to my listeners for tuning into the Strang Report today. As I said earlier, share this with other people. That's how we get the word out. And also as you share the podcast, which is how it's grown. I just looked at the numbers today and we're well over 11 million downloads. And it'll be interesting to see how many people listen to this, but I think it'll be very well received because it is so important. So again, the book is called Joy in the War by Daniel and Amber Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E. So thank you again for being on my podcast. And until tomorrow, when you can tune in for another episode of The Strang Report, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.